2024 was a really good year for us. 2023, we did 10.4 million in revenue. 2024, we just finished up at 16.7 with a higher NAD as well. Our motto was do fewer things better. And I really went back to the basics, focused on our funnel.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey, welcome everybody to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. This is Brian Kaskavalskian, and with me today is a return guest, Kirk. You know, we both have hard last names, and people look at my last name and say it's really hard. I always look at your last name, and I think it's really hard. And I've got it right before, Koskaniemi.
Yep, Koskaniemi.
Koskaniemi. See? Okay, good. Welcome.
Thank you.
Happy to have you. Always happy to have you. What's going on? Are you in Wyoming now?
Yes, moved to Wyoming August. So it's been 4 or 5 months.
And where's your business?
Still have the business in the Portland and Seattle markets. So that's been interesting.
How's that going?
I think just like anything, there's, I'd say it's a net positive, but there's some pros and cons. Cons being everything's just a touch harder remotely, as far as especially communication with people. It's easier now with video and that type of stuff, but it's hard to replace being in person. I go back about once a month, meet with the team, do the company meeting. And then the pros, it's given me a lot more of an arm's distance away from the business. I've struggled to... Over the years, I started out on the roof, so it's sometimes it's hard for me to pull my head out of the weeds, I guess. It's been good for that because I get more focus time to, I guess, work on the business, and gives my team a little bit of breathing room so that they deal with me in short bursts of intensity, and then they can kind of do their own thing.
That's always a good thing with us business owners is, you know, those short, you know, the less time they have to spend with us sometimes is a lot better.
I've also realized that I really need to like pick and choose which message I'm gonna pass on and stay a little more focused, I guess, instead of being everywhere at once. And there's a lot of stuff that I don't see that I am better off for not seeing as well.
Yeah. And you're a part of the Level 10 meetings every week.
Yep.
Yeah. So you haven't let that go. You're still holding the visionary role.
Yep. Yeah, and I did for a while. I wasn't doing it for the first month and a half, 2 months when I was getting settled in here. And then I just realized that it was better for the culture if I was more involved and make better decisions if I had that touch point every week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the least you could do is show up for 90 minutes a week. So I wanted to ask you because you're a great operator. I mean you just really built a hell of a business. And give everybody a little context. Like how many sales reps do you have now?
Around 15.
And you guys did about how many jobs last year, roofing?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Just ballpark.
Probably 300 to 400 roofs and probably 1,500 repairs.
Okay. Yeah. So nice size business, very profitable business. This is almost kind of the dream, is to have a business that works without you having to be there every day. We talk about that here. We talk about that in our Success Society meetings all the time. We talk about it at Accelerate. Is that's the goal. The goal is to build something that doesn't require you to be there on a daily basis. Now, if you want to be there on a daily basis, that's a whole nother thing. I mean, I'm still here every day just because I like it. I love
what I'm doing. And quite frankly, right now, I don't really have much else to do. And so I like being here. So what are some of the things? You know, so 2024 was a really tough year for a lot of people. Next week, I'm going to Arizona. I'm doing a keynote at a dealer, big dealer network meeting. And what they really wanted me to talk about was what do we have to do now that COVID is over? I mean, like 2024 was the year where we went back to normal, back to the way things used to be before COVID. And I even like to say like before 2016, because for some, you know, 2016 things really started to grow. The economy was getting better. People had more disposable income. So things really started to grow. And then COVID came along and yeah, we were quiet for 2 or 3 months, but then all hell broke loose and home improvement killed it for the next 36 months up until 2023. Then things started to, you know, go back to normal. Normal being leads are tougher to get. They're more expensive. Sales are harder to make. People don't have as much disposable income. And so what are some of the things you learned or did different in 2024 to react to that?
So 2024 was a really good year for us. 2023, we did 10.4 million in revenue. 2024, we just finished up at 16.7 and with a higher NAD as well. I wish I could say there was some silver bullet that made us get better.
There never is.
So I guess it's a lot of boring stuff. Big ones being, you know, one thing we talked about last year as a company was because our 2023, we started to see at the last half, our profit margin fell off. And we got excited with everybody, along with the rest of the industry, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. And we really, last year, kind of our motto was do fewer things better. Mm-hmm. So we really, really went back to the basics, focused on our funnel. You know, like a lead comes in, we, you know, set it at X percent, issue it at X percent, demo at X percent, close it at X percent, and then the first thing we did was make sure our funnel was working before we tried anything else, which was ended up being, you know, that was our biggest growth year ever. So it ended up kind of, you know, being the cart before the horse thing, or if you say that, where although we focused on the funnel, we just saw insane growth across the board in productivity. And some of the big things we focused on was average ticket size, because the marketing has gotten a lot more expensive, just period. If you get your ticket size up, though, then your cost of marketing can go down with the same amount of leads. And we didn't even have a great year as far as, like, I feel like in 2025, there's still so much that we're working on. But yeah, our ticket size, that went up, I don't know off the top of my head, but with our repair division especially, we pretty much, I think, doubled our average ticket size. And so that really helped funnel the, reduce our marketing cost as a percentage. And then on top of that, we had a lot of people that call us for repairs, and then we would convert them to a new roof. We built the system for that. So if their roof was, you know, 20 years old, we made a process to walk them through. Instead of saying, hey, you need a new roof, we'd walk them through our conversion process, explain to them why you need a new roof, get a different sales rep out there that could sell roofs. And I think we did around $1 million in extra business just from repairs to roofs. Then another big thing is we really focused on our sales team, training them, just going back to the basics. I mean, lots of role play, lots of trainings, huge shift. And we were down to, I think, about 5 to 7 leads per sales rep, and handing the leads out like, I don't know, like they're diamonds. And there's been a shift in the sales team where they're, you know, instead of being just lead monsters that are trying to sell their way out of a slump. Like, we've really changed the culture so that, like, your option, you can train your way out of a slump, not sell your way out of a slump. We've done a few other things, which we'll see if they work out, but we implemented a minimum pay for sales reps, which has pros and cons, but the big...
A minimum what?
Minimum pay. So basically, they get... they have a minimum pay, they get paid, and...
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's created more work on management, but stole the idea from Scott Berman. But basically, how it works for us is, one, you know, when we're hiring someone, we can tell them, hey, so we do $1,200 a week, which is rich, but if they're not, you know, if they're on the books for a month or two and they're not selling well above that for minimum commission, we, you know, it's on management that we have to burn them. But what it does is, if someone, it's basically $30 an hour. So if someone's not selling, typical sales guy wants to, you know, get more leads and sell his way out of a slump. We can pause the leads, say, hey, we're paying you to train or whatever. And then once they can prove, you know, they shadow people, do ride-alongs, training, review their realas. Once we feel like they're ready for more leads, we can try them on with a lead or two and see how they do. So to recap it, the big changes have just been really focusing on taking what we have and getting better. Stay with our marketing sources, going back and talking to our marketing vendors, saying, hey, this is, you know, we used to be here, we're here. What can we do to get back to these numbers? Some of them have gave us discounts, especially as we're spending more with them. I've found out as your volume increases, you have a little more negotiating power with them. So that helps. But you know, instead of trying to find the next lead source, which we are still trying to do that, but we're 90% of our budget is on existing lead sources and really, you know, looking at the analytics of each one and saying, hey, how can we, you know, what, you know, if it's direct mail, can we, if we're paying $2 a piece, can we somehow get it down to, you know, $1.30 a piece and get the same amount of conversions and get a little boost that way. So a lot of, frankly, pretty boring stuff and a lot of hardworking stuff, but it's nothing crazy.
Well, but it's interesting that you say it that way, because it's the boring stuff, the fundamentals, the basics, as you called it. And so it's interesting because there are a lot of companies like yours that actually grew last year. But the majority, I shouldn't say the majority, but too many companies out there actually were flat or went backwards. And not only did they not grow, they didn't make more money. They made less money. And that is, so, you know, COVID times were the opposite of basics. They were the sexy times. There were more leads than anybody could handle. And so when you have more leads than anybody, than you can handle, sure, you could be sloppy, you can be inefficient, you can be this, you can be that, because the money was still coming in. But I think the difference between people that just rode that wave and people like you, and you mentioned Scott, and I can, you know, line up two dozen other ones, where you guys had the fundamentals in place. You had the basics already in place. So for you, it was just a matter of taking advantage of a big opportunity. The shocking thing is that as much as revenues grew during that time, the 2020 to 23, end of 23, profit margins didn't necessarily go up in most companies. Sales went up, but margins, because people didn't know how to, if you didn't know how to make money before, how are you going to know how to make money now that you have more revenue? We talk about this all the time. You're a guy, you knew how to make money. You knew what your numbers need to look like to make your net profit. Now you just have to engineer everything else to work. And that's the boring stuff. So you brought up funnel. So you know what's funny is you just validated everything I'm going to do at that thing next week. Because most of what you said is included in my presentation. There's a couple things I'm probably going to be adding based on this conversation with you. It's cool to be surrounded by smart people because you keep learning more and more stuff. But let's talk a little bit more about the funnel, because marketing costs, they're nuts. You know, where before it was, you know, everybody wanted to spend 10%. And I'm not sure where you are, and don't say where you are, but you know, a lot of companies are budgeting 15%, 18%, 20+. I spoke with somebody the other day that to his team budgeted 20, it was either 24 or 25%, still at a huge net profit. But those are some big, big marketing dollars that are being spent. But the only way you're really going to win and dominate the market is by being able to outspend the competition. I mean, generally, that's how it works. So when you're talking about the funnel, let's dive a little deeper into that. What is the funnel? First off, what does the funnel kind of look like? You did that a minute ago, but if you don't mind, do it again. What does your funnel look like? And then what were some of the things maybe within there that you had to tighten some screws on?
Okay, so our first one is inquiries. That's just anything that comes in. That's our, you know, any lead or whatever. The next one is set appointments. So that's of all of our inquiries, you know, what percent of them are set?
Let's stop there. Let's kind of hit each of these as you go along. So with set appointments, was that something you worked on last year?
Yes.
What were a couple of things that you did there to improve?
Set appointments are all, that's one of the biggest metrics. The more you have human involvement, the bigger swing you can get out of it. So set appointments, I mean, we hovered in between anywhere from as low as 20% last year to as high as 45%, depending on the month. So a couple of things we did is one, working with the call center, listening to calls, training, you know, just when you're adding new people, just making sure that they're not saying stuff you don't want them to say, because that's probably the biggest fall off. It's people that aren't trained or just don't want to be there, and you don't know unless you listen to their calls. Then the next one is we look at it by lead source as well. So especially with the lead aggregators, you might feel great because you're getting, you know, 10 leads a day. But if you're only setting, you know, 5% of those and you're paying someone just to work those leads constantly, it'll bring down your overall set rate, which may or may not be a bad thing, but you just need to look at it and make sure that you're getting that, keeping that funnel tight. So I don't know. We're trying to go to, I think, 40 to 45% set rate or 40 to 50% set rate this next year, but that does change month to month depending on our lead sources.
Yeah, and let's just be clear about that. There are different lead sources set at different levels. So an inbound lead off of marketing might be at 75, 80, 85%, but an aggregator lead might be at, you know, 10, 15%. And so what you're talking about there is the blend.
You can measure, so a neat trick to figure out whether it's the lead source or the call center is you measure between reps, you know, because if you have, say you're using HomeAdvisor and, you know, get one rep setting at 20% HomeAdvisor and, you know, the rest of them are at, you know, 5%, well, then you know that's just an exceptional rep and it's not HomeAdvisor, or vice versa. If everyone's at 20% and one rep's at 5% on HomeAdvisor specific leads, you know that they're, you know, not doing a good job at HomeAdvisor.
So, okay. So set appointments. So that's good. And you know what? And look, I think that what's going to happen here and to the listener is don't miss out on the message, even though you're going to hear the same thing over and over again. Training is key. And as you listen to Kirk, you got to realize this is the business. This is a sales and marketing business. And it's a people business. And those two are forever interlinked, because you need people to execute well on your marketing team and on your sales team, and of course on your production team. But also it's really all about your ability to effectively market your services so people are calling in? And if they're not calling in and you're buying aggregator leads, how good of a story can you tell to get in the house? So after set appointment, what's the next measurement?
So we do issued appointments, which is basically, you know, you can set an appointment, but then sometimes they cancel. Sometimes mm-hmm. you can't get back a hold of it. We can't confirm it. So once it's confirmed, then we issue it to sales. And that's kind of the handoff between sales and marketing. So sales, once it's issued to sales, we consider that an issued appointment. And we see roughly 10% of our set leads either cancel or for whatever reason don't get issued to sales.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a process in place for people that don't either don't set an appointment or for some reason cancel the demo?
Yeah, absolutely. So if they don't set or they cancel, it goes back into the queue and they get called again.
So during COVID, so I knew what your answer would be there because that's how the best in the business do it. But during COVID, that was one of the areas where people got sloppy. That was one of the areas where it's like, if you don't have a process in place, if leads are coming in, but you're not setting them for whatever reason, and you don't have a way of putting them back through the system, then you're just, you know, you're one, it's sloppy, it's inefficient, and it's going to be hard to make any money because you're burning leads. And when the leads start to slow down is where you're going to see it and where it's going to rear its very ugly, ugly head.
It's that time again. Accelerate Live 2025 is happening at the beautiful Omni Resort on Amelia Island, February 11th and 12th, with special bonus workshops on the 13th. If you enjoy this podcast and still haven't made it to an Accelerate Live, now is finally the time to take the leap and see why this has become the number one event for owners, operators, and leaders in the home improvement industry. For 2 days, you'll discover proven strategies, plug-and-play tactics, tools, and resources on what's working now in sales, marketing, production, leadership, profitability, and mindset. You'll see exactly how to build the business of your dreams better, faster, stronger. You'll network with your peers and industry legends. You'll forge lifelong connections that can transform your business and change the course of your life. So if there's one event you attend in 2025, make it Accelerate Live. Tickets will go fast, so grab your seat today at accelerateevent.com. That's accelerateevent.com. And make sure to use coupon code podcast25 to get an extra $100 off. That's podcast25. You have nothing to lose because of our 100% risk-free guarantee. So don't wait, secure your spot today, and I'll see you there.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, during COVID, it arguably might have been easier to get a new lead than, you know, follow up on old leads. But the problem is it builds that habit of just only getting new leads, and then it's really hard to unbreak that habit. So
yeah, I'm glad you brought that word into it, because that's a good way of saying it, because it is. That's what you're doing. So you're either going to build a good habit or a bad habit.
And actually in a business, it's even worse, because then it becomes your culture. So once enough people pick up habits, now it's a culture, and it's hard to change a culture.
Okay, so we've got issued leads. Now they're going to sales reps. Okay.
After issued, then it becomes a demo. So our next one is demo leads. So that means that we basically gave them a presentation and gave them a price.
And did you work on that as well in 2024?
So not really, which this is a little... So our demo rate is like 89%.
I mean, the actual demo in the house, the presentation and the giving of the price... Did you work on making those better?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, I mean, everything we worked on. But yeah, we relooked at our presentation. Again, going back to when fewer things better. One thing we did is we actually shortened up our presentation a touch, just because I think that two things. With a lot of new sales reps, it's really easy to get productitis, where all they want to do is talk forever about why we're the best. And we tried to make it a little more condensed with through Engage. They have click-throughs where they can go deeper into the products if the customer's interested. But again, we tried to just make our present, you know, we're in the customer's house. We tried to make it, you know, as short as we could, which is still like an hour and a half, but really focused on the stuff they care about, not like how great our shingle is.
And it's funny because people will get caught up in the product thinking that that's the most important thing. And it's really not. It's important, but that's not what's most important to the consumer. And this is why price becomes such an issue as well, because you're not cheap, not even close. And you're not competing on price, you're competing on value. And the way you compete on value is through educating the consumer. And it's not only about educating them on the product, but it's educating them on what is a good job, what is to work with a good contractor. And so one question I have for you is, what is the week, a typical week look like for one of your sales reps in terms of how many leads are they running? And then what are they doing in the in-between times? Are there sales meetings that they have to be a part of? What does their week kind of look like?
A little bit depends on how experienced the rep's doing and how well the rep's doing. More so how well they're doing, because even experienced reps fall off. But most reps are running 4 to 7 leads a week. If we have a really strong rep who's just on a tear and doesn't use much management, he might be running 8 to 10. And we're keeping a hawk eye on them, because the number one precedent to someone hitting a swamp has been really good for a while. So, but basically anywhere from 5 to 10 leads, say, a week. We do trainings twice a week where they come in for training. We also do one-on-ones, try to hit every rep once a week with the sales manager. We do ride-alongs amongst the reps. So if someone's doing good and someone's, because if someone's not selling, they might not run leads for 2 weeks. So they might be doing ride-alongs with people who are selling, and that helps them. One, when they see someone else sell the exact same product with the exact same pricing, it helps them get out of their head. And because they all think they're better than the next guy too. So when they see the next guy doing it, they're like, I can do this. And then two, it also like, it gets them in the mode of wanting to get back in it and improve themselves again. And then also, yeah, we do twice a week trainings, which is a lot of role-playing and that type of stuff. We have a sales break board, which I think I stole that from John Kolbaska, but basically it's, they're very active on there. They got to post their wins and then everyone else posts back to them. That's also another indicator we can see where someone's not doing well emotionally when they're not participating in the breakboard. It's not like required, but you can just tell that their heads aren't in it. And then I guess back to your question, they also do a lot of impromptu trainings depending on lead flow. So, hey guys, if you're not on at 10 o'clock tomorrow, be in. We're going to go, you know, go over this, whatever the flavor of the week is. So probably about, you know, half training, half on the road, all in all. Then they're realists too. They got to listen to their realists.
Yeah. It's sharpening the saw, sharpening the saw, sharpening the saw. I like how you said that too. It's about half the time they're actually out. I mean, one of the examples I'm giving in this presentation next week is an NBA team. So if you look at an NBA team, they have a game once a week or whatever their thing is. But what are they doing the rest of the time? Are they just home messing around doing nothing? No, they're practicing. They're doing drills. They're doing head work, inner game work, outer game work. They're not just laying around waiting for the game to come along. They're actually working and working to improve their craft and be professionals. And one of the big differences between an organization like yours and, quite frankly, one that I'm going to talk to right after this that wants to be like you is that they don't have all of this stuff in place. They're not doing the training part of it. They're not practicing. They're not honing their skills. And that's a recipe for mediocre performance.
It's tough because the salespeople are good at selling, and it's easier for them to sell their manager or boss than all the customers. And even December, so December was a really slow lead month for us, so we got a lot of training and stuff. Last year, our average NSLI on the team was around $5,600. But December, when we were really low on leads, we had about 60% of the leads that we have in busy parts of the month, of the year. Our NSLI was like $10,500.
Wow. So their performance, just because they had less leads to work with.
They're sitting on training and then they give a lead and it's like they're just closing machines, you know. And then they're out there trying to sell them, you know. They're trying to, once they're well trained up and they're sitting there and they're hungry, they're working on their ticket size. They're really listening to the customer. They're doing all the stuff that, you know. And that's what I try to tell the guys. I'm like, hey, you work. If you're a sales rep and you have a $5,000 SLI or $10,000, you can run 60% of the leads and make way more money, like mathematically. So I try to keep pounding that into their heads. Like it's not. And we're even thinking about taking away our sales competition for highest net sales and going to NSLI.
Yeah.
Because you got to get their minds off that big, you know, 300 grand month. Like, no, let's get an $8,000 NSLI, you know?
Tell the people that may not know what NSLI is. Can you just quickly tell them what NSLI is?
That's a net sale per lead issued. So, you know, if you give a sales rep 10 leads and they have a $10,000 NSLI, they're going to come back with $100,000. Net sales after cancellations, after all that stuff.
Yeah. And it's one of the strongest indicators of how good a sales rep is that NSLI number. Last thing I want to ask you about is the next step, which is, what if they don't buy? What happens to that lead?
So if they don't buy,
the prospect says no.
So it depends on what happens in our sales process. But if it's I'd say actually pretty much 100% of the time, unless they're really pissed or something, we'll rehash, call them and see what's going on, see if we can help close the deal, anything we can to pick up a little more business, basically.
Yeah. How much of that, how much of your business last year was through rehash?
Not very much. I'd say between 4-5%.
Okay. But still 4-5%.
Yeah.
You know,
And what you'll find is what we found was that maybe just, well, I think regardless, when you have a lot of new reps, you'll have more higher rehash that month. Like December when everyone was hungry, our rehash was nil because guys are doing everything they can in the house.
Don't you wish they were like that every month?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, but it's hard because we're human. We're human. We're not machines. You know, the day that they create an AI machine that can go out and sit across from a homeowner and deliver perfection every single time, you know, maybe that'll change the game. But for now, it's us. You know, we're human beings and we get into slumps, and we slumps are caused more by, I think, their mindset, like what happens inside of their heads more than anything else.
1,000%.
Yeah. So like one of the typical things is if you hire a sales rep, a new sales rep, and the most money they've ever made in their life is $60,000. But the opportunity they have with a company like yours is $150,000 to $200,000, which is about what a good sales rep should make in this industry. Well, once they hit 60,000, you know, they may be on a tear, sell their first 600,000, make 60 grand, and then all of a sudden they go into a deep dark slump. It's like, what the hell? How? Why? What happened? Well, they hit their set point. They hit their limit of in terms of how much money they can process in their heads. And if you as a sales manager or an owner don't understand the head game behind it. And you can't coach them through it. And just like I do with you guys in Success Society. Well, you've never made whatever, $1 million a year income before. Well, tell me how you're going to spend it. Let's start with that. Let's start to get your head wrapped around what you're going to do with it. And then we could start to move you from your set point of 200,000 a year. Again, I'm just making up numbers. To how do we get you from 200 to a million? It's the same thing with a sales rep. It's the same thing with anybody.
Usually when they start doing really good, they get sloppy because they're just riding such a high. I mean, I've had guys that have made, like you said, and they're making 60, 70 grand a year. And then, you know, they come out of the gate swinging on like month two and they'll make like, you know, 20, 30 grand in 1 month. And that is just, and they're getting sloppy and things get shaky and then they fall hard and it's hard to get them out of that.
Yeah, yeah. And then some of them go nuts.
Yep.
You know, they start to do all the things that they shouldn't be doing, drinking a lot after work, going to certain clubs that they probably shouldn't be going to, and, you know, starting to think that, and then they don't account for taxes. They go out and they buy a Porsche. You know, their wife starts to ask questions, and you got to deal with all of this stuff with people. And if you don't know what's going on and you're not working with them and not only in their craft, but also with what's going on in their heads, you're going to have a tough time. You're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that. I mean, it's a good industry where you can make a lot of good money, but it's, and you touched on the way, it's like, man, it's crazy how many people do really good. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 months later, you hear that they're having, you know, issues at home with the marriage and that kind of stuff. And it's like, can be rough, the influx of money and the stoppage of money after it. You know, you bring the wife home, you know, 20, 30 grand for a month or two, and then, you know, down almost nothing. It's tough.
Well, this is awesome. Kirk will be at Accelerate. What can you tell people? I got to do a pitch for Accelerate. I think this is probably the last episode that's going to go out before Accelerate. I think by the time this is released, I think we have less than 40 seats left. This is going to be our biggest one yet. But what would you say to somebody that maybe has never been to Accelerate before, that's in the home improvement business, that's an owner or leader? What would you say?
I would say, I would say this. I think I went to the first Accelerate in 2018. Were you doing it then?
Yeah. That was our first like real one.
Okay. I think that's where I went. And at that time, I was probably doing, maybe 2 or 3 million in business that year.
Yeah.
And everything, I would say maybe not everything, but 90% of the stuff that I've done to get to this point is either from stuff I've heard about at that Accelerate and, other Accelerates, or from people that I met. Through Accelerate and through the industry, because there is, I came from swinging a hammer and I didn't realize there's a way to do this industry. And, any successful company does about 80% of the things the same exact way. Accelerate is a great place to go to learn how those companies do it. And I've been going for 7 or 8 years now, I guess, and I'm still not able to implement everything I've learned. So I would say if you're at 2 or 3 million or 1 million, you want to grow, you will learn all the tools to do it at Accelerate. And then, after that, it's kind of up to you how fast you want to do it. So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I always look forward to seeing you there. I think I might be lucky and you are going to do something there, but we'll see about that. I think Fraser's working on that with you. So I always say, the stage is where you get a ton of value from the stage, but there is, I don't know if it's equal or more value from who you meet in the breaks, at lunch, at breakfast, in the hallways, people like Kirk. I mean, when you meet people like you, I'm going to talk about you while you're here. But I mean, to meet someone like him who has been where we all were at some point, you know, struggling, you know, not real happy with where things were going in the business. And then you talk about how much you have in common and you see like, well, wait a minute. He's a good guy. I'm a good guy. Why can't I do it too? And then you know, ask questions. I mean, it all it takes for somebody is to meet you for a minute or two, ask you a couple of questions, and their life can be changed from what you tell them, or the inspiration you give them, or the confidence that you give them to say, you know what, it's okay. I was there too. Just, you know, here's how you do it. Here's what you need to do next. And I think there's so much value in that.
Yeah, I remember being at the first accelerator I went to, Brian Elias was speaking. It was a small room. But I remember everything he was saying was so foreign to me. One of us is definitely crazy. I'm not sure which one it is. I've got to know him a little better now. But he's a good crazy.
Oh, he's crazy for sure. But in a good way. He's a good crazy.
He was so different than everything I thought the industry would be that it just kind of started to make my brain open up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, man, as always, I appreciate you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing as much as you did. And I look forward to seeing you in 2 or 3 weeks. And to everybody listening, I hope you'll join us at Accelerate. Like I said, by the time you hear this, there'll probably only be about, I don't know how many seats will be left, but as of our recording, we were just talking about it. I think we're less than 40 seats left. So if you've ever thought about it, if you've never joined us, give it a try. You've got a money back guarantee plus a bonus if for whatever reason it doesn't work for you. And Kirk alone should be reason for you guys to come. So hope to see you there. If you want more information, just go to accelerateevent.com, accelerateevent.com. And oh, and you can use this, there's still coupon code, and I think it's podcast25, and that'll save you an extra $100 on your ticket. Kirk, thank you again. Appreciate you. And to everybody listening, till next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.